Good to see all of you here again today. That's good singing, wasn't it? I love it. Love it. She picked some wonderful old hymns, didn't she? That brings back a lot of memories. I mean, I bet you, like I, have been singing those since we were little bitty kids. And the older you get, the more precious they get, right? That's the way it works. It's just awesome. Thank you for the blood. Well, today I want us to look at a few verses in John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Just for a few minutes, but let me give you just a little bit of background before we get there. In chapter 11, John, you know, the Apostle John, who wrote the Gospel of John, and who wrote 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and who wrote Revelation, the one that was the disciple Jesus really, really loved. He was probably the youngest of the disciples that followed Jesus originally, but he was really special, and God used him to write some of the most awesome things in Scripture, and we're right there in it right now, in the middle of it. But back in chapter 11, John told us how Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And I bet you all remember that. When Lazarus was dying, Jesus waited. Remember, he didn't go back immediately and just heal him. He waited until he was dead. Not only that, he waited until he had been dead for 3 days. The sisters of Lazarus, Mary and Martha, remember them? They were grieving, of course. Their brother had died. And when Jesus finally came 3 days later, after he had died, both Mary and Martha said, "Jesus, if you'd just gotten here sooner, he wouldn't have died." They knew Jesus could heal him. But of course, Jesus has something much, much greater in mind. They don't get it yet. They're going to really quickly. So he told Martha, this is in verse 23, Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said to him, "I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day." She knew there was going to be a great resurrection and Lazarus was going to come back to life, just like we will someday. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." Isn't that awesome? That's what Jesus said to her. "And everyone who lives," Jesus said, "and believes in me," Jesus said, "shall never die." Do you realize that? We're not going to ever die. Not really. These bodies are going to wear out. We're going to leave them behind. But we're not going to die. And Jesus said, "Do you believe this?" And Martha said, basically, "Yes, I do believe. I know you're the Messiah. I know you're the Son of God. I know who you are. And I know you can do anything." Now, she may not have quite realized yet what Jesus is about to do. It may not have sunk in on her yet. But she was convinced, "You're the Messiah. You're the Son of God. You can do whatever you want to do." So she's just trusting Jesus. That's what we have to do, right? We don't know exactly what he's going to do either. We just trust him. We know he's in charge. We know he knows what's best. We know he loves us. We know he's wise. And you know what happened? Jesus raised him from the dead. You remember that? He just brought him out of that tomb. He raised him from the dead. Now listen, we must never, ever underestimate the importance of that miracle. This was an enormous, very significant miracle in the ministry of Jesus when he raised Lazarus from the dead. It was a major high point in Jesus' earthly ministry. I think it was the greatest miracle yet. He worked a lot of great miracles, I know, but this one is really awesome. And he did it right at the end of his ministry now. It's very close to the end of Jesus' ministry. He's going to die pretty soon. So it's like the climax. Now, I know he had raised other people to life too. Other people who had died, he raised them back to life. But in all those cases, they had just barely died. We know that because none of those people had been buried yet. You know how long the Jews waited before they buried their dead? Not very long. Sometimes they buried them in just a few hours. They didn't embalm them. They just buried them very quickly when they died. So all those others were resurrections that happened right after their death. But there's some other very important things we need to remember about Lazarus' resurrection. It makes it very, very significant. When Lazarus was raised, it was a shocking event to just about all of Jerusalem. People knew Lazarus. He was a well-known guy. And this got a lot of attention. And this resurrection is going to point to Jesus' own resurrection. It's just going to be a few more days till Jesus is going to rise from the dead. And this resurrection is pointing more clearly because Lazarus' body was stinking. Remember, it was in the tomb. It had been in the tomb so long, it was starting to stink. He was decaying, his body was. And Jesus is showing very openly here, I've got the power to bring that kind of dead body back to life. That's what he did. And like I said, in just a few more days after this, Jesus is going to give his own life on the cross, and then he's going to bring his own body back to life. He's going to rise from the dead. So Lazarus' resurrection is more significant than the others because it's more like Jesus' resurrection. It points to Jesus' resurrection, and it's the high point of Jesus' ministry. Of course, it wasn't the same as Jesus' resurrection because Lazarus is going to have to die again. He was raised back into a normal body like we've got now, like he had before. Jesus is raised to glory. When he rises from the dead, he's coming forth in a glorious eternal body. By the way, so will we one of these days. We're going to be raised like Jesus was raised. We're going to have bodies like Jesus. It's going to be incredible. But up until now in Jesus' ministry, if you remember, he's been very careful, even to the point of being supernatural sometimes, to avoid being captured. You remember how many times he said, my time's not yet come. My time's not yet come. He had perfect sense of timing. He knew when his time had come. And over he said, no, it's not time yet. And he didn't let them kill him. They couldn't kill him. But the Jewish leaders wanted him dead. We've talked about that before. He threatened their power and their authority over the people. And so they wanted him out of the way. They wanted him dead. But up until now, his hour had not yet come, but we're getting very close now, very close to when he's going to give his life. And remember, when he gave his life, he gave it freely. They didn't kill him. He gave his life. He let them put him to death and put him on the cross. They couldn't have done it if he hadn't let him. So what he's doing here is he's beginning to orchestrate events. He's engineering these things. He's in charge. And he's going to get to the point where he's going to lay down his life 6 days later. 6 days from where we are right here in chapter 12, he's going to be nailed to a cross. So his death is very near. And his public ministry, by the way, is about over at this point. This is fascinating. A whole lot of what we read in the rest of John is addressed to his very closest followers, his disciples. He's going to say a few more things publicly here in John chapter 12, and then that's pretty much it. He's going to end his public ministry right here. John's a fascinating book when you think about it. There are 21 chapters in the Gospel of John, 21 chapters. And we're just now to chapter 12, but we're already up to the final week of Jesus' life. He took 21 chapters to talk about the life of Jesus. Come in, brother. Good to see you. 21 chapters to talk about the life of Jesus, and he takes 10 of them to talk about the final week. Isn't that amazing? And most of it's talking to his disciples very personally. So this chapter 12 kind of represents the great conclusion of his public ministry. And we're just going to barely begin it today. So in verse 1, we read this. And I'm going to pray first, and then we'll read God's word. Father, we thank you for the wonderful way we've been able to get together and sing praise to you and sing about the blood of Jesus today. I thank you for my wife, and I thank you for these wonderful songs. And Lord, we thank you that you're here and you never leave us. You're always with us. Anytime we gather in the name of Jesus, you're with us. And we thank you for that. And we thank you for what you've put in your word here through the Apostle John so that we could read it and learn and grow stronger in Jesus and be more amazed at you than we've ever been before. So please help us to just be in awe of you as we read about Jesus and what Jesus has done. Thank you for the way he raised Lazarus from the dead, climaxing his miracle ministry. And thank you for the way he got people's attention, and thank you for the way he led things right on up, planning all the details until he finally gave his life on the cross for us. Thank you so much for that. Lord, we want to learn to love you like Lazarus and Mary and Martha learned to love you. So help us as we read your word to realize this is your very word, and you're willing to teach us. It's living, and your word can penetrate into our hearts. And your word can bring conviction, and your word can change us from the inside out. So please do that today and get glory for yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, this is chapter 12, verse 1. 6 days before the Passover. Now remember, Passover is when Jesus is going to be crucified. 6 days before the Passover, before his death, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Talked about that in the previous chapter. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at table. So this is kind of a thank you dinner. It's like a dinner of appreciation for Jesus. And they've invited a lot of guests, but it's all in Jesus' honor because of this amazing thing he's done in bringing Lazarus back to life from the dead. And Martha shows her gratitude and her joy by doing what she does best. She's a wonderful server. She just likes to cook and prepare things for people and serve people. So Martha's showing her gratitude to Jesus. She's serving. Mary shows her gratitude and probably also speaks for Martha and Lazarus too in verse 3. Listen to this. Mary, therefore, took a pound, the ESV says. The Greek word is litra. It's where we get our word liter, but it's not the same amount as our liter. A litra in the Greek was probably about 12 ounces, about like a soft drink can or something like that. She took a litra of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Now, did you hear the word therefore? Mary, therefore. This is because Jesus had given them such an incredible gift. He'd given the gift of life back to Lazarus. And because Jesus was willing to be such a close personal friend to these sweet people, he's the Son of God now. He's the Messiah. And yet he's their friend. And he's eating with them. And so Mary's part was to say, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, by pouring out this very expensive gift on Jesus. When we get down to verse 5, which we won't get to today, but we know it was very expensive. Verse 5 said it was worth 300 denarii. And in that day, a denarius was what they got paid, most people, for a day's work. So we're talking about 300 of those. That would be 300 days' work. That's like a year's worth of wages to people in that day. If we were going to translate it into wages of our day, we'd say tens of thousands of dollars. This was expensive stuff. This was not cheap. It was probably the most precious, expensive item they had in their home. And so Mary takes this expensive ointment, this perfume, probably with agreement from Martha and Lazarus. They probably worked this all out in advance to communicate in the most extravagant way they knew how, in the most lavish way they knew how, that they love Jesus. And she's communicating her love for Jesus by what she's about to do. So she takes her hair, that's the nicest, cleanest part of her, and she washes his feet, the dirtiest part of him, with her hair. And you remember how the roads are like then. You probably heard messages that were dirty, dusty, animal excrement and all this other stuff. Feet got really messy, so they had to have somebody wash their feet pretty often. And so she washes his dirty feet with her hair and this incredible perfume. So what she's doing is communicating how valuable Jesus is. He's much more valuable than that expensive perfume. He's worth more than she knows how to express. It's just the best way she can express it. So what she's saying, in effect, is, look, the prettiest thing I've got about me and the most precious thing I've got is my hair. It's the thing I get honor for. And she's saying, I'm just bringing the best thing I've got and using it as a washcloth to wash your feet. Because I know how incredibly glorious you are, Jesus. She recognized that. And there's a lesson for us here. And I'm sure you get it. We need to find ways to lavish our love on Jesus. We need to do the same thing, guys. Because really, think about it. He's already brought us back from the dead, hasn't he? I mean, we were dead in sin. And he's given us life in his blood, right? He shed his blood to give us life. So now he's given us new life. He's raised us back from the dead. One of these days, he's going to raise our bodies back from the dead too. He's going to give us these incredible glorified bodies. So we have even more reason than Mary did to lavish our love on Jesus, if you think about it, don't we? I think we do. How do we do it? Well, it's probably going to be very different for every one of us. It really is. But I tell you what we need to do. I tell you what we need to do. This is what we need to do. We need to say, Lord, help me figure out how to lavish love on you. I don't know how to do that. Help me. Help me understand how to do that. Show me ways that I can be extravagant. And one thing we could do is examine our resources. Now, we may not have much, but God gives us something as long as we draw breath. We've got a little bit of energy. We may have time. We may have a little bit of health. We may have a few possessions. We may have some gifts that he's given us, some abilities he's given us. And we need to say, Lord, help me to use these things that you've allowed me to have to show you extravagant love, to just lavish love on you. How do I do it? It may mean spending extra time with him. It may be spending time in his word, saying, Lord, help me to understand what you're saying to me. I want to study your word. I want to meditate. I just want to worship you. It may mean spending extra time in worship, maybe getting the book of Psalms and just reading them and thinking, God, I want to praise you with these Psalms. Or maybe a hymn book and just reading some songs back or singing them back to God and just saying, Lord, I just want to express my love to you. I want to show my love to you. Help me to do that. It may mean giving a little time and energy to try to bless somebody else in the name of Jesus. Say, Lord, I want to bless them because I love you. Help me to do that. He'll show you. He'll show you if we ask him. Listen, Mary and Martha and Lazarus figured out a way to lavish their love on Jesus. They figured out a way. And we need to do the same thing. It won't be the same way. It won't be the same way. But if we really want to know how, I believe he'll show us, okay? So why don't we pray right now and ask him to do that. Father, thank you so much for this incredible demonstration of love that you caused to be written into your word when Mary took her beautiful hair and took that very expensive ointment and poured it out on Jesus' feet and used her hair to wash his feet to show this lavish love she had for Jesus. Thank you for giving us that example. And Lord, we know we can't do that, but Lord, we can do other things. So would you help us know how to communicate back to you how much we love you? Lord, you've done so much for us. You brought us back from death to life. You redeemed us with the blood of Jesus. You purchased us from Satan's grip and from the slavery to sin and death. And you brought us back with your precious blood so that we could have eternal life in Jesus. And Lord, we know one of these days you're going to raise up our dead bodies. These bodies we expect to turn to dust one of these days. And you're going to raise them back up and give us glorified bodies. So we have so much reason to give you praise and to give you thanksgiving and to lavish our love on you. So help us to learn from Martha and Mary and Lazarus to love you more lavishly than we ever have before. Please show us how to do that. Help us each one to think very personally and spend some personal time with you figuring out how to do this so that we can bring you the most glory possible. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.